Welcome to Three Cops Talk. On this podcast, three active duty police officers discuss behind-the-scenes stories and real-life accounts of what it's like to be a cop. Every episode, you'll get an inside look at the challenges and dangers they face on a daily basis, as well as the triumphs and inspirational moments that make it all worth it. If you want to understand more about the men and women who put their lives on the line for us every day, then this is the show for you. And now your hosts, Chris, Scott, and Sean.
To put it simply, this episode is a discussion of yet another typically tragic and deadly incident for the city of Chicago that involves its police, citizens, political leadership, and the mainstream media.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode belong solely to the hosts and do not represent the views of any professional organization. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
When you get to be your age, I mean, stuff gets slow. By the way, what do you do now at 57 for your birthday yesterday? You soak your bunions, or what do you do?
That's a pumice stone, dude. You're not soaking bunions.
That's a pumice stone.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. This year was a little different. The good thing for me, it was like I was finally upstaged by the eclipse.
Wow. Yeah.
There you go.
Being a descendant from the Celts, like I thought it was going to be like kind of cool that I got that like, you know, worship some things differently, like, you know, sacrifice a goat, has sex with a bunch of, you know, girls in Holly Springs and stuff like that. And, you know, didn't really play out like that for me.
So none of those things happened, is what you're saying.
Yeah. No. So we went to Chili's.
There you go.
I don't know, like, you know how it is, like, with birthdays when you're a guy? Like, there's a couple of them that are important. 18 means you can go die for an ungrateful country. but you can't drink until you're 21. Then you turn 21. And I think the next most significant ones, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I thought like 30 was kind of like, all right, I guess I got to be an adult now.
I still haven't had that yet. It still hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah.
You got a lot of time to plan for the next 20-year eclipse if it falls on your birthday again. Like, what are we going to do next time?
I paid no attention to that whatsoever. No attention to it whatsoever. Like, I paid more attention to Taylor Swift and that nonsense with the NFL this year than that.
You are not damaged goods just because you've made mistakes in your life.
Thank you, Taylor. That means a lot to me.
People were getting so whipped up about this, and I was working, and I noticed outside, like, oh, yeah, it looks a little, like, different outside. Okay. And then I went back to work.
Right.
I'll tell you what, down here, though, man, they had, like, you know, I was out walking and stuff, and they had people in the driveways, tables full of booze. Everybody's got chairs
like
out.
Into a party, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's an eclipse party.
From what I understand, though, if you're leaving that neighborhood that Chris is talking about on your golf cart, if you turn around and look back at it, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt.
Hey, sounds like a great birthday. Happy Chili's birthday. Happy Eclipse Chili's birthday.
Thanks. Would you guys just do a good, like, birthday cake and a little dinner?
Soft-shell crab. That's what it's seasoned. Nice. Soft-shell crabs are hit or miss.
Now, did you make the boys catch it, or did you actually spring for it?
No. Like, it's a funny story. Like, when soft shell crab season came in Jersey, like, you'd go crabbing, and my father would see one of them on one of the pylons when you were on the dock.
Hit it with his shoe.
My father would be like, literally, he'd see it and spot us, and he's like, "Don't anybody move." Because they're molting, so they're losing their shell, so they're very vulnerable. So they'll sit on the side of it and just wait. It's, like, really wild. And, like, most of what you can't eat in a crab when it's a soft shell crab, you can eat all of it. The entirety of the crab you can eat. And it's, like, really great in the Chesapeake Bay region. But anywhere else, like, you're, like, some places you're, like, eating a crab-flavored sponge. I got one in South Bend one time.
South Bend. I mean, South Bend is known for their soft shell crab.
Well, I went to this place because it got a great review on Yelp from Pete Buttigieg.
I always hit that Merrillville truck stops of America for soft shell crab. I mean, it's that and a zero monster.
You know, since we're talking about unique cuisine, if you know anything about Chicago, at least dining wise, you never, ever, ever put ketchup on a hot dog. I mean, it is like the highest of insults, right? Chris being our resident.
My dad wouldn't let you have, like we the first time I went, like, I'll have ketchup. He goes, you get nothing. And he didn't give me, no.
I mean, I don't know why you would be, why Chicago drew the line at ketchup when you consider all of the things that go on a Chicago hot dog are like, what is it, Chris? Name it all. It's like 70 things.
Onions, mustard, pickles, relish, peppers. Pickles, hot peppers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a list. It's like the amendment. It's like the amendments show. Yeah, there's so many of them. But for some reason, they drew the line of ketchup. Like, you can't put ketchup on a hot dog. Well, guess what Chicago's going through right now as a city? Emblematic of that. There's ketchup all over Chicago right now. And ketchup is basically commensurate with the highest insults to people from that city. Because Chicago is a great city. Anybody that's been there will tell you, especially if you lived in another urban area, when you come to Chicago, you're like, wow, this was really cool, really accessible, really great food, really, you know, great sports town. Like we talk about a lot of time, a lot of culture. And, you know, but it's also a town that honestly, it's of the common man. Like, you know, people, blue collar people could really make that city click and work. And it didn't lend itself to a lot of the things that LA and New York fell prey to. But Chicago right now has got its fair share of shit going on. Right. It really has a lot of people worried. Like, you know, some people say I'm crazy when I say this. It's like, you know, there was a city called Detroit one time that kind of dictated what the rest of the world did based upon production of autos. Well, Detroit, if you know anything about that, got so bad that it basically imploded. And there are attempts to make it better, but I don't know in our lifetime if Detroit's ever going to get to that point. And there are some scary things that are happening in Chicago right now that could probably point to some of those same things. I mean, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I mean, I grew up in Chicago. I mean, I grew up there. And we used to love going to the city. And we used to love going downtown. We used to, you know, make birthdays out of it, or, you know, my parents' anniversary or whatever. And, you know, to see it deteriorate so bad, like to the point when I was even there still, I'm like, we're not going to the city. I'm not going. Right. We're not going because, you know, you want to get killed, carjacked. No, it's just not worth it because it's just, to me, it's a free for all. And I just hate to see, you know, I really hate to see what's happening. And the politicians there are just, they're letting this thing go so bad because they're not looking at the right questions. And that's most recently is that there was a kid that was shot the other day. And again, this is all still new. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is what you're getting now is, so basically the policeman stopped him for, I think it was tinted windows.
No seatbelt
violation. Yeah. No seatbelt. And there was an exchange, you know, rolled down the window. Then he tried rolling up the window. Don't roll up the window. Then the driver pulled a gun, and this is clear as day on video. He shoots at the police, hits one policeman, and then a gunfight ensues to where 96 rounds were exchanged. The bad guy dies. And the only thing that came out of this was, you know, I don't understand why the police shot him or so many times, or why, you know, why didn't they just, there were so many questions, except they're not asking the question is, why are we allowing policemen why are we allowing bad people to get away with stuff and not holding them, you know, not holding them accountable so this doesn't happen? And when it does happen, it's everybody else's fault but the bad guy. And it's just the politicians and everybody that runs that city are asking the wrong questions. They shouldn't ask why he shot him 96 times, which is a whole different, you know, discussion. But why? How did he get in possession of a gun illegal? And why is he shooting at the police? And guess what? You shoot at the police, you die. It's that simple. It's that simple. And I think they just don't.
It's not our intent to go out there and have that happen, but I mean, the likelihood of when you're involved in an officer-involved shooting, the nature of the rounds we carry and the things that we do and some of the training. You know, to me, 96 rounds is, without knowing all the facts, I was like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's just me talking. I don't know anything more about it other than the typical folks are coming out to kind of immediately start dividing people. Now, I'll give Brandon Johnson credit. He did come out and make a statement officially in the lobby area, wherever this was, the press area of the Chicago office of the mayor. And he did say, you know, the city will not tolerate police officers being shot. And he did say, we won't stand for it. We're not going to have it, which, and honestly, in a lot of ways, kind of a leap for him. It really is. I mean, he wasn't a guy that was willing to do that. But then the mayor quickly shifted gears and almost Bill de Blasio style, you know, referenced the concern that he has for his two young black sons that he's raising on the West Side. And he was devastated by another young black man dying based upon an interaction with the police. And then, of course, Dick Durbin, who's been at it forever, couldn't, you know, stop himself from speaking of how shocking the violence was in that video while ignoring maybe the suspect's past here. He's also said that, you know, this is trauma that's caused the communities and we're never going to be able to build trust and et cetera, et cetera. And that a thorough investigation needs to be conducted. And then, you know, finally, you know, the end all be all in the city, the guy that never seems to not find a camera at these moments is a guy by the name of Father Flager that came out and started making comments on the tactics of the plainclothes officers from the 11th District in Chicago, questioning pretextual stops and, you know, the amount of violence and the shell casings. And, you know, since when do these type of officers actually make traffic stops for, you know, minor violations like seatbelts, just adding fuel to the fire? This is stuff they must be teaching in seminary, I guess. Now, mind you, the one other thing about Brandon Johnson was that he's also had a past here in which he has, you know, openly said he's going to cut the police budget by, you know, 9% annually to the point where it's almost like 40% cut from where it's at. He also ran on getting rid of ShotSpotter technology, which, you know, has upset quite a few of his own aldermen because he referenced the, you know, the killing of a 13-year-old boy, you know, at the hands of the police because ShotSpotter technology drew them to that area, which is and somewhat fictitious because none of the officers were charged in that. And it was a terrible video to watch in that case. But the bottom line is that in Chicago, if there was something to charge an officer over, they would clearly have done it. There's a lot to be said, and I think it's growing old within the community because he has done a lot lately to invite people to council meetings and, you know, has stood there and taken a lot of heat from the African-American community. A lot of that is steeped in some of the things that are going on in immigration issues, but, you know, you can't play super progressive and think that you're going to get every base covered with this. A lot of those folks are turning on him.
I think not only are they attacking him on this whole like this racial stuff, but it goes beyond that. To me, when they stop with the race stuff and they start getting into what is ruining that city, so now they have this immigrant problem, and it's not a black white thing. It's an immigrant problem that you've allowed, and they start attacking him on actually where he stands on political values. I think that's more interesting now as the tables turn, because for years it was, well, because we're black and we're black and we're black. But now it's, you're not protecting the city. You are not doing what you, my neighborhood that used to have X amount of policemen and that was safe is now not safe because you, now you're letting these immigrants in. Now I'm not even safer. So I like the step that is kind of going full circle. Unfortunately, it has to go through this dire strait, but I like the fact that they're calling him out on policy, which to me is an uptick in people becoming educated. And the unfortunate part about it is that it had to harm them in some way.
That's the worst part of it. It's like you have to be victimized until you say enough is enough. Like, you've gone to these politicians and you've said there's been promises about we're going to fix all of this. And you've got a huge crime problem, understaffed police department with no real legitimate viable plan that I've seen or heard from anyone about what they're going to do to rebuild this police department. And then now you put this illegal immigrant problem on top of it. And there's a lot of those folks that we've seen that are committing crimes and all that on top of it now. And they're spending tens of millions of dollars to house these folks and, you know, provide them services. And it burdens the schools and the medical facilities and everything else. And it's like, when do people just say enough is enough? Or when do people, like, to Sean's point, you know, like things that have happened in Detroit where, like, hey, jobs dry up, businesses don't want to work there, or I'm sorry, don't want to, you know, do business there. You can't do anything to draw new business there because the taxes are so high and everything else. Now what? That we're.
But even that, though, Scott, as a side note, not to interrupt, but even you had the Citadel Financial Company there, and there was somebody else, and even that, they weren't even worried about the taxes because they got a, you know, because even though Chicago would give a tax break, the reason the Citadel Financial moved is because two of his people got robbed and rolled on their way to work, and he goes, I can't have my people work in a city where they're going to go out for a cup of coffee and get robbed. With not even thinking about the consequences. So it is. It's not only expensive, but then you have that aspect on top of it. That's why my business wouldn't go there.
Well, you can't look at the political history of Chicago without obviously considering its very powerful mayors. And of the last five, all of them had something to do with this circumstance in one way or the other. Well, you obviously can go back to 1989 when the Junior Daley, Richard Daley, took the mayor's office and held that position until 2011 when he decided to get out of the mix. Well, when he decided no longer to run and nobody was going to be the heir apparent from the Daley clan, the next individual to get involved was a guy by the name of Rahm Emanuel. If you don't remember Rahm Emanuel, he was Clinton's chief of staff. He was involved in investment banking, all sorts of political things along those lines. North Shore guy, although he might have been born in Chicago, he definitely spent more of his time in Lakeview area. That's like guys from Naperville that say they're from Chicago, and people get really mad about that because they're not. And I'm from the Chicago area. I'm not from Chicago, and nobody hates that more than people from that area.
I'm from Chicago.
You're from Chicago.
When North Shore came down there, he really only cared about the big investors that could keep that going in that city, that gentrification, the businesses coming there, and whatever else. And the knock on Rahm Emanuel was he ignored the minority communities there. Until Laquan McDonald was shot and killed by a Chicago police officer. And what became more problematic for this incident beyond the young man dying was how it was handled by the city at the time that it happened. The family was supposedly paid off a multi-million dollar lawsuit, and it kind of went away. Well, some things were discovered after the fact by an astute member of the media that was reviewing in-car camera from FOIA requests, something along those lines. And then the outrage started from there. And it was alluded to during this process that this was done without the mayor's knowledge. I don't know how a multi-million dollar payout can go through that city that's already so financially strapped that Rahm Emanuel didn't know about it. But the bottom line was that it was the assumption that he did, and he was just trying to cover it up because he was polling so poorly towards his second election with minority communities. That became the rallying cry. And then all of a sudden, Rahm's out there crying, saying how he's not going to tolerate this anymore. And then from there came the consent decree and then the decline of a lot of things in policing there. They went through chiefs, burned through a lot of them. It led to the formation of COPO, which is the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, which was meant to replace the Independent Police Review Authority, which people felt didn't do anything to bad cops. And now COPA is kind of viewed in a lot of circles as an adversarial relationship with the police, more interested in politics and division than it is about, really addressing problems within the department and the community. And Rahm Emanuel had this notorious saying of let no tragedy go to waste. From a political standpoint, it was great that he was able to see that he probably wouldn't have been elected in a third term. So it was better for him to probably go out on top than face the music. So he decided not to run again, which gave rise to the election that brought us Lori Lightfoot. A relatively political unknown to come in and take on the third largest city that really came at it in a manner in which she was only going to really listen to one side of the equation there. She wasn't going to do anything to bring people in. She bombed out within, 4 years, guys? Yeah. She was done?
Yep. And all kinds of controversy with her, of course.
Yeah, tons of it that you can get into. We'll get into a little bit later on this topic on the show. But in her defense, she had a struggle through COVID. Some of the things that obviously consent decrees, as we've talked about in the past, how they caused a rise in crime, she had to own a lot of that and deal with it. So her meteoric rise led to a meteoric fall. She had one term as she was resoundingly beaten in the mayoral primaries, which led to the election of Brandon Johnson, where we currently stand. Some people say we got somebody more progressive than even Lori Lightfoot. And now the African-American community is actually turning on him because of a lot of these things that we're seeing here.
So you're talking about, here Sean's talking about COPA and, what role this plays in this incident and in all the shootings in Chicago. And it makes sense that you have this kind of third-party agency that is reviewing this, because people want transparency with the police, and you have a significant incident like a police shooting. It makes sense to say, okay, yeah, this is a group that's outside mm-hmm. of our agency. They are going to do an unbiased, fair, and impartial review of the incident. And that way they're not impacted by either side of who's involved in this incident. But the problem that you're already seeing is that that's not what is happening with this. You have this COPA chief, Andrea Kirsten, who's coming out. She's on news stories here. She's saying things about it's almost like she's giving opinion on what's happening versus just relaying all the facts. Their job is to collect the facts, determine what happened, and provide a report on what happened. But here's what ends up happening, and you're already seeing it, is this story. You go search this story, okay? And I looked through all kinds of different news outlets, mainstream media news outlets, and you search this story to see what's being reported out there. And this kind of stuff, this one was the one that really got me going. And this is from USA Today, which, you know, I don't read the USA Today newspaper. I didn't even know it's a newspaper. Usually it's just a doormat at a hotel that you're staying at when you go downstairs right. for a bad continental right. breakfast. But right. this...
You can clean oatmeal off your shoes and stuff like
right.
that. You
right, back and forth. Right. Is that a doormat? No, it's a USA mm-hmm. Today. And right. this reporter... Right. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but the headline of the story by some journalist named Michael Loria, this is the title of the story: "Seatbelt Violation Ends with Black Man Dead on Chicago Street After Cops Fired Nearly 100 Bullets."
The complete omission of the fact that although there might have right. been a seatbelt violation, there's a complete omission of the fact that
right.
the seatbelt violation led to somebody shooting at the police.
Right. That for that person who is staying at a hotel and unfortunately has no other news media to access other than a USA Today, you're reading that and you're thinking, man, these cops in Chicago, they're awful. I hear all these stories about Chicago. It's out of control. And that is such an irresponsible and inaccurate way to title that story. Your job is to provide information and a story on what happened based on what facts you can gather. And I just, that one really got me going. And I just want to read, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I want to just read like the first two paragraphs of this. "For Sheila Banks, the late afternoon of March 21 began easy with her son Dexter Reed heading out to enjoy his new SUV. Mama, I'm going out for a ride," she recalled Tuesday. "It ended with Reed, 26, being gunned down on a residential corner by Chicago police officers who fired nearly 100 rounds in less than a minute, according to the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, COPA, the police's watchdog agency." That is an irresponsible and inaccurate thing to say, that this individual was gunned down on a residential corner. That's not accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this, when we talk about what upsets folks in the city of Chicago and all around and everyone's interactions with the police, these are the kinds of things that tear down those relationships. We do all these things to try to build it up. And when you publish things like this that are factually inaccurate, or even if you haven't finished, if the COPA report isn't even out, then it's even more irresponsible to say, if in turn it comes out and it is something that says, oh, geez, these officers, actually what they did was improper and there should be consequences for that, then report on that. But to just basically make this opinion of what happened, not knowing anything about it, it makes me mad, because it further divides the people in these communities that are trying to have relationships with law enforcement and the community. So as I'm sifting through these other news things, you know, if you look at some of the local Chicago news outlets here, there's some better, but I feel better, fair reporting on some of these things. And one of these ones that I found is a smaller news agency called Block Club Chicago. And they report basically kind of, they provide a lot of detail. And if you want to read something that really lays out a lot more facts about what we know what's going on with this thing, the one thing again that's troubling about this is we keep hearing the 96 rounds, 96 times they fired, 96, 96, 96. You Google any of it, like it's almost the first thing you see is 96 rounds. Yeah. Does that need to be reviewed? And does it at first seem like a lot? Sure. But when you then have this same COPA group, and it says right in this story, to quote it, the watchdog did not say how many shots Reed allegedly fired before officers fired back. So yes, can you determine how many rounds were fired from body cam and the firearms that these officers carry and, you know, several of those things? Yes. But I also bet that preliminarily you have an idea of how many times his gun was fired at the police officers too. And I literally cannot find anything that even gives a reasonable estimate of how many times he shot. So you can't have it both ways. If you're going to report it accurately on both sides. And the other thing too, that I found disturbing about some of these stories is that you're talking about this officer who was shot. He was shot. And so many of these news outlets are trying to kind of like soft sell it. Like he was wounded. He was injured. He was shot. There's no good way of getting shot. Like being shot is bad. And yes, do we report it was non-life threatening or they're in stable condition? All those things that the news outlets say all the time. Yes. But, and maybe is it not life threatening? Was he shot in the wrist and is not going to die? Yes, thankfully. But just to kind of brush it off, like he was wounded, he was injured, he was shot. Someone shot at him, and then he in turn shot at the person that was shooting. So, you know, folks, just when you're hearing about this and reading about this story, I mean, it takes a lot of digging to find sometimes news outlets that are providing fair. They're reporting on these kinds of things fairly, and don't let some of these mainstream news outlets, you know, drive your opinion of what these things are happening. Read all kinds of different news on this. Look at some of these. Like I said, this one was a good one. It was a smaller local news agency that provided a lot more detail than some of the, you know, this hit piece like this USA Today stuff. So that's all I'm saying. It got me going, but, look for more facts in it and let's let it play out. Like don't let this COPA come out and say things that are getting people fired up until we're providing some facts about what happened. Well, and one other piece of this that, again, to some of these news stories that not all of them will report, this guy was out on pretrial release on three felony counts related to guns from an incident last July.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So everybody I've talked to, and one of the people that was close to this investigation, they stopped him for no seatbelt. Number one, everybody that's out there that says, well, the windows were closed. No, they weren't closed. It was half open, and you can clearly see he's not wearing not a seatbelt. He put the window up, number one. So there's your stop. Number two, he shot at the police first. Everybody said it, even COPA. He shot at the police first. The police returned fire. I don't care if they shot at him 150 times because he shot at the police first. He hit a policeman in the hand and he hit a policeman in the vest. If that shot was 1 inch to the other way, he would have took it in the chest. And if he wasn't wearing a vest, he'd be dead. Okay, that's two. Number three, when they found his gun, it was in slide lock. And for everybody, that means you fire every bullet you have in your gun and your gun stops functioning. At a minimum, that was 11 rounds he shot at the police. He cracked off at a minimum 11 rounds at the police. 11. And I'm sure it wasn't double tap. Oh, did it work? Double tap. Oh, did it work? No, he fired 11 rounds, rapid succession, at the police. So everybody's trying to put their spin on this, and it gets infuriating because the facts are the facts. And then you got this mom on to, oh, he was going around, he loved this, he loved that, he was just going for a round, and they killed my baby. No, your baby chose to get killed because he fired at the police. So let's just, the facts are the facts. And don't get me wrong, are there bad shootings in the United States? Sure there are. This was not a bad shoot. This was a solid shot. They had a constitutional stop. This clown decided to shoot at the police, and he got what was coming to him because he decided to shoot at the police. And ultimately, not only was he a the violation of the seatbelt, it's an attempt murder charge. He tried to kill a policeman. And as we all know, the statute says, if you are in fear of death or great bodily harm for yourself or anybody else, you can use the force necessary to stop the threat. So whether it's 50 rounds, 100 rounds, 1 round, 900 rounds, it doesn't matter. The statute's clear. So I think we just need to stop trying to throw fire on this and, you know, play where's the pee behind the shell game.
Well, one of the things I saw on social media today that was kind of nice was Paul Vallis, who ran against Brandon Johnson and lost by a slim margin. He was a centrist, kind of a guy that, you know, as a you can't be anything but a Democrat to be the mayor of Chicago at this point. But he came out on social media and said, you know, he railed against COPA in their statements. And his blanket statement on this was, and it was great, he just said, don't want this to happen. Don't shoot at the police. That's what he said in caps, big caps, like yelling at you and texting. He said, don't shoot at the police. And I was like, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, like, it was a seatbelt violation. If you were out on bond for gun violations, you shouldn't have had a gun in your car either. Let's let this try out, folks, and not fall for all of the nonsense that the media maybe wants to push on you that's not from the Chicago market, and politicians that are trying to protect their own hides about decisions that they're making that could cost them their jobs.
Well, and thankfully, Lori's found a new job.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. I guess from what I hear, she is now hired as a consultant for $400 an hour to investigate the Dalton mayor for alleged misappropriation of funds.
Right. The Dalton, Illinois.
Cook right? County.
Yeah.
Suburb.
And if you haven't heard of this lady, she is like Boss Hogg, but a female, an African-American.
You better be sure you have the evidence.
The level of assumed corruption that's going on there. And then the way
Tiffany
Henyard conducts herself, the billboards of herself around the city. She's got Scott. Why don't you launch on this one? Because you're there just suffering in silence.
Suffering in silence. So, you know, I mean, it's comical because we tell all these stories and it seems like we're always bitching about like Chicago and everything else, but like Chicago has had this history of just like corruption at so many levels,
you know, Cook County, right?
Chicago and Cook County and like about just, you know, it's laughable. Some of these things. Well, this is just right on par with that this young lady who is the mayor of the village of Dalton has been, I mean, there is, if you look up a story about her, I mean, there's got to be a million of them. But she is the one, you know, she's allegedly as the mayor of Dalton, she has spent hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on like lavish vacations and heavy amounts of police security details and all these various things that you should not be doing as a mayor and almost flaunting it, like literally almost flaunting at people like she's some type of untouchable princess or something. You know what I mean?
Right. It's been so bad. The local media has actually turned its eye towards her. And when they went to go talk to her when she was out doing, I think she was like handing out turkeys or something like that, going door to door. The local media reporter approached them and the guy got strong armed by her detail by these off duty cops, supposedly. Yeah. They're like, you're not allowed to talk to her, get out of the way. And like, shove the guy away. He's like, what's going on? Like, where am I? That's how bad it was.
Yeah. Like she has some kind of like presidential detail or something, you know, with the Secret Service in this. And this is a community that is probably, you know, struggling financially, like a lot of suburban Cook County agencies.
Like they're $2 million in debt. So $2 million.
It's not a big town. It's not a really big town.
No. And
that's what I'm saying.
Folks there are probably getting the lowest level of a lot of, village services, you know, whether it's police, fire, right. public works, whatever. This is a city that's struggling. And this young lady is out there just flaunting it like I'm the, you know, princess of Dalton and my billboards and my trips right. to Vegas and spending right. this money and all these details and whatnot. So there was an interesting story where I saw a reporter went out and actually talked recently to several of the council members of Dalton and showed them just receipts for these things. And they were all looking at it like, this is outrageous. So you figure like, okay, here's the next thing that comes. There's going to be some type of investigation, right? And Chris, you said that, and I didn't know that part, but allegedly the FBI is already looking into this. But,
yeah.
but the logical part on top of this is that they somehow, Lori Lightfoot has been hired as a consultant for $400 an hour to come in and tell them what this mayor is doing that's shady or illegal or all of the above. And she's going to put together an official report. This lady, this Lightfoot couldn't manage the city of Chicago. She couldn't work out contract negotiations with police officers. She couldn't get anything done. But now she's magically the expert that's going to come down and probably bill this village for, you know, tens of thousands, I mean, $400 an hour.
She'll make, if she works 8 hours a day, she's going to make $832,000 in 1 year.
Right. To a community where these folks are already strapped. They already right. know that this mayor right. is screwing them over.
This isn't just us saying this. This is right. what the voters of Chicago said in the last mayoral election. Single digits is where she polled at. Mm-hmm.
No, but she was the first mayor, if I'm correct, I believe she's the first mayor not to run, not to be elected at least two terms in a row.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
In the history of Chicago.
So you look mm-hmm. at her, you look at her track record and you're like, okay, this, you couldn't find a better person to come in and try to actually investigate what's going on.
The great right. thing about it is she's going to actually do the depositions with Star Jones on The View.
Somehow Lori Lightfoot becomes right. the city manager. At yeah, the end right. of this. Like, wait, you were investigating stuff. Now you're the city manager.
But that's the actual solution right, paragraph right, at right, the right, end. Solution.
Lori Lightfoot is now city manager.
Yeah. So it's a shit show in Chicago. I don't know what to say. Like, and again, it's just so sad because there's so many great things about that city.
Right.
Like,
seriously,
like anybody you talk to that says I visited Chicago and I really enjoyed it. I really did. Like people, so many people are like not even consider going there anymore. And it's sad because those folks deserve better. But again, like we always say on the show, you're a voter. You deserve better. Pay attention. Stop listening right. to all these lies and tales that everybody's telling you. Stop telling you that all of these things that they're going to address to make your neighborhood safer has only made them worse. Nobody wants to be a police officer right. there. The folks that come in and like basically are trying to hold the dam back, they're going to burn out and not be happy doing it. Again, all we can do is pray for this. That's it. This like pray yeah, for Ukraine. How about we start with yep. Chicago? Let's pray for Chicago. All that right. money that's going over there. How about we give it to Chicago instead? Like when you have kids that are graduating from schools that are graduating at high school reading at a third grade level, and colleges in America mm-hmm. are still accepting those kids to only crush their dreams within the first semester because yeah, they can't
tie them up with debt.
Yeah, and tie them up with debt. It's like, when are folks going to start listening and saying, all right, well, you know what? We'll dump all these immigrants that are coming in that we said we were a sanctuary state over. We'll dump them in all these African American neighborhoods. I had a guy standing on there, like numerous people saying, like, and this, do you remember what it was like if you went into a black neighborhood and said, I am going to vote for Trump in 2020? You would have gotten your ass oh, yeah. beat. Yeah, I mean, people would have been like, well, you're dumb enough to go yeah. in there and say that, so maybe you deserve it. People are at those things saying, we are willing to talk to Republicans. Completely unheard of in the city of Chicago's yes. history.
Well, something's got to change for Chicago yeah. if it's going to get better, because this isn't working. That's why Chris left.
Yeah, right.
right. I watch it every day and go, ha, ha, ha.
But you know what I say? It's like, hey, maybe you should give ketchup a try then.
How dare yeah, you? Let's try ketchup.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
And the DoorDash guy is going to bring it to your front room.
to your front room.
Front yep. room. So there's a little microcosm into Chicago. So we figured we'd point out some of these things to you, and you know, don't let this become a town near you. Vote, stay involved, and stay informed.
Correct. Right.
And hold these political leaders accountable that told you that they were going to fix things for you, and they're not.
Right. So get out, vote, get involved. And like I said, I see it every day, and I'm... It's giving me hope that people are getting involved and they're getting educated about stuff. They're just no longer saying, well, I voted for so-and-so and he's going to take care of it, because they're not, because you got to hold them accountable. I really like to see that. And I like to see the fact that now you have Democrats in these cities that are willing to talk to Republicans and maybe, just maybe, they could come up with some sensible solutions to these problems. But, you know, but get out there and do your part. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go to where you get your podcast, leave a rating, review, download, subscribe. And if you have any suggestions for the show, please email 3copstalk@gmail.com. And you can go to our website and you can see past shows. And you could also get us through email through there. So everybody, thank you for listening. Let's please spread the word on 3 Cops Talk to everybody so they could listen and we can get some hard-hitting shows and get the word out there and we make the world a better place. Have a great day.